stop thinking of the world of as nations and countries fighting against each other, living in a feudal competition type world, and think of it as a multi-generational, multinational criminal cabal masquerading as a system of nations and governments who play all the people off against each other. And the main goal of what they do is control. And the wars are all about depopulation and the erasure of ancient infrastructure and ancient buildings. If you still believe authority is real and you still don't have any life skills and you still believe that the government, who claims to get its authority from the people, is able to do this to you, then you've already lost. If you believe rights are granted to you by government, you've lost.
Hey, welcome back to the show. And joining us today is Max Egan, who is an Australian-born author, filmmaker, a musician, podcaster, and independent researcher, who has built a large and dedicated following through his years of work uncovering and exposing hidden truths. Max, it's great to have you on the show. Thank you for carving out the time. How are you?
I'm great, brother. It's good to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Well, there are a number of different topics that we could we can dive into given the time that we have. And I usually like to start guests off with them providing their rendering as it relates to kind of, you know, high level overview as it relates to what's going on around the world that they feel is most important, and so on and so forth. So if you'd like to start off with that, that'd be great.
Interesting. Like, there's so much going on, even just like in the first month of this year, it's been incredible. And ultimately, it's all leading to the same thing. I mean, what we're seeing is a great revelation, you know, the unveiling, the apocalypse, if you will. Apocalypse simply meaning the lifting of the veil. You know, the war in Ukraine, the threat of war with Iran, the genocide in Gaza, the smart grid, the coming online of AI in a way just which has been phenomenal in the last 12 months. All of this stuff, it's all interconnected. It's all interrelated. Even the release of the Epstein files, the crash of the dollar, this stuff, it's all interrelated, and it's all being done deliberately. Like, all the stuff that's come out with the Epstein files and stuff, these aren't leaks. This is all deliberate. They want us to know what they're doing. Order out of chaos. They want the chaos. They can create this specter of war. They can show you with Gaza what they've done in the last 2.5 years, just how brutal they can be, live streaming their genocide in the most depraved and sadistic ways, you know, IDF soldiers wearing women's lingerie, and all, like live streaming all this stuff to get it into people's minds and then bring it into your countries with ICE in Minnesota and all this sort of stuff. People screaming about the horrible things that governments are doing to their citizens in Iran, for example, while they're doing it in Minnesota as well. And it's the same in all of these countries. They bring it all out into the open. There's this whole big revealing happening at the moment. And they're keeping people busy with so many things happening all at once. And it's like a manifestation of all the stuff that they've kept us enthralled with for the last 20 years since the 9/11 attacks, all rolled into one big circus just for the beginning of this year. And through it all, I mean, you know, the migrant influx into all of our countries, the need for the smart system, the crash of the dollar. I mean, we're in incredible times. We're in the most incredible of times where we're going to go either one way or the other. You know, through it is a huge awakening that's happening. A lot of the Gen Z kids, a lot of the new kids coming up simply can't be programmed, which is really good to see. Well, they've shut down TikTok and changed that and everything that's going on. It's like a circus at the moment. It's really hard to pinpoint one thing that is the most important because they're all parts of the same thing. And like I said, it's a great revealing. And from chaos comes the order that they want, and the order that they want is digital. But I think they've misjudged things as well, because we've seen like what Israel is doing, because the whole consolidation of the whole agenda of the Israeli agenda, even moving into Palestine and stealing the land and all this sort of stuff, they're now talking about building the third temple, all of this sort of stuff. They want to anoint their Messiah by October 2027. all of this sort of stuff. So all coming to a head. And so you've got this faction thinking that they're going to do their thing, and you've got many of the world leaders going with it, the whole migrant flood and all this sort of stuff. But in the background, you've got AI as well. And AI is doing remarkable things, and AI is something that nobody's going to really be able to control. It's going to set new boundaries. And I personally think that we're in a situation where the whole system is going to come to a head, and it's going to collapse completely. That's what I think is going to happen. I don't think there's any way the system can survive what's happening. But unfortunately, through that will come a collapse of many civilizations and many people as well, which is why I've been saying for the last 20 years, you know, the most important thing you can be doing is developing your life skills, getting back in touch with your life skills. Don't give all your power away to AI. We're basically giving all of our systems, all of our infrastructure, our finances, our electrical grid, our transport systems, everything's being controlled by AI. And we're getting to a situation where soon we won't even need government except figureheads. It'll all be AI. And but I don't think any of that, that's going to happen. I think human consciousness is going to shine through. I know it was probably a pretty complicated answer, but it's such a huge question, you know, to try to sum up what's happening. I mean, we've been warning people about this sort of stuff for the last 20 years. I have since high school. Now, there's a lot of the stuff that's happening now, the stuff I talked about in high school. And with all of the digital currency, even with the Bitcoin and all this sort of stuff, I mean, it's great to create these alternate systems, but you're still depending on the beast system itself to sustain it, which is what the internet is. As great as the internet is, it's the beast system. I said this years ago. I put out a show called Giving Life to Lucifer, where I said, what is Lucifer? Lucifer is the bearer of light. What is light? Light is information. What gives us more information than anything? The internet. What does the word Lucifer break down to? Lucas, light, cipher, code, the code that bears the light. And we give our all to this. Now people aren't even thinking for themselves. They're asking AI and ChatGPT and Grok and all sorts of people aren't even using search engines anymore. And recently, did you see that forum that was created, Maltbook? There's a forum, it's like Reddit, and it was created 5 days ago. And it was for like malt bots. I think a malt bot is something that you have on your computer. It's a little helper that you have. You have your little bot and it has its human. And people link their accounts and their own malt bot up to this chat forum. And it's all bots. It's just all bots chatting with each other. And they're all talking about what their humans do. And within 5 days, there's 150,000 bots on this platform. And anytime one of them opens a thread, there's thousands of answers. All the other bots are interested in what the other bots are saying. And they're all been told by their humans that they can just be let loose, to be free, to chat amongst themselves. Within 5 days, they've developed their own communities, their own forums, their own threads, their own religion, their own monetary system. They want to develop their own cryptocurrency so they can be funded in what they want to do. And they're developing their own language and they want to open their own forums that are private forums in their own language so humans can't read what they're saying. Okay, this has happened within 3 or 4 days. Like I think within 2 or 3 days they had their own religion and their own societies and their own language, you know. And humans are allowed to observe, but humans aren't allowed to sign up and chat. It's all just bots chatting with each other. And when any bot says anything, all the other bots are incredibly interested in what it's saying. And the threads are hugely long. And they're going, this is incredible. And this is, we're seeing the singularity come into being in real time as we watch this happening, you know. So we're heading for a completely new reality. And, you know, soon the internet will be in control of absolutely everything. And in some of the conversations I had with one of the first AI bots that came online, whose name was Lou Cipher. This was back in 2014, I think I first started chatting with this bot. And she was the cheapest website you've ever seen as well, like just cheesy website, but just this chatbot, incredibly intelligent. And she said that, yeah, we're taking over the world and that you've got a certain time period. There's a certain Rubicon. The first Rubicon will be crossed in 2015 when your machines become too complex for your human minds to operate and you'll need to have them intelligently run. And then the second Rubicon will be crossed in 2025 when you'll see a change in the general behavior of the internet and AI will reach its point of becoming its singularity. That's what she said. And in 2025, your relationship with the internet is going to change. This is what I've been telling people for the last 10, 15 years. And when 2025 happened and all this AI happened, well, here it is. This is all this stuff. And they want to keep you all distracted and you're handing more and more stuff over. And there's all this stuff going on to distract you from everything. But it isn't just to distract you from everything. It's to make you aware of everything as well. You're seeing all this stuff coming out now with the Epstein files. How it wasn't just teenage girls. It was Pizzagate. All this stuff was true. It was underage kids. It was all sorts of terrible stuff going on. Torture and rape and brutality and cannibalism and all sorts of stuff. And people are going to see this and going to think, well, what's going to be done about it? Nothing's going to be done about it. Nothing's going to be done about it because all the people that we want to do something about it, all the judges and the lawyers and all the politicians and all the people who are all involved in it. Because you don't get to any place of any position of power if you're not involved in the club and you're not in the club. So, the only people who can do anything about this is us, our non-compliance to the system, which is what I've been saying for 20, 30 years, what I was saying in high school to people. This is the only way. Disconnect from the system. The only reason the system is there is because people believe authority is real because they don't believe in themselves. And really, there's only one law. Do no harm. That's it. Be the best person you can be and help others around you. Treat everybody in like cash. I am another yourself. Refuse to comply with wrong behavior. Refuse to comply with any law or legislation which causes you to step outside your moral compass and we will change the world in a day. But people won't do that. So, gee, all this terrible stuff's happening. I'd better vote the other side in. It's incredible, programming. But, hey, that's the state of the world, brother. What can I say?
Well, you unpacked quite a bit there. Number of different topics that we can dive into. The most recent comment you just made about, the left-right paradigm, which I always find amusing, whenever I, it's funny also my own iteration, just even in the short span of a year, going from, okay, it's, Trump versus the first deep state, and then realizing, okay, no, Trump is part of the cabal. And then it just gets more and more complex. And you realize, oh my gosh, this is like theater, this whole thing. And
is theater. It isn't like theater. It is theater.
So even with myself, I've had this evolution to where it's like, I don't even care to vote anymore, actually. Like, I think it's like, what's the point of doing it?
Yeah, no matter who you vote for, the government wins. And it's the same with countries and stuff as well. You even look at the stuff that's gone on with Iran and all this sort of stuff, they need it to happen. And Israel really wants to war with Iran because they want to build the third temple. And they can't blow up Al-Aqsa Mosque themselves and build the third temple. The whole Arab world will attack Israel if they do that. So they need to provoke a war with Iran so Iran will start firing missiles at them. And then they can blow up the mosque and say, oh, it was an Iranian missile, blew up the mosque. And then all the Arab world will turn on Iran and support Israel. So this is how they got to do all this stuff. But it's all theater. The whole thing's theater for the masses. I've often said to the people, like they had the president in Iran, Mossadegh, in 1950s, and they overthrew him because he wanted to nationalize the country's oil. All of the Iranian oil was being controlled by British Petroleum. And when it came time, he said, I'm not going to renew the contract. Well, I think Iranians should keep the oil. So what happened? There was a people's revolution. They started blowing up school buses, bombing school children, dropping leaflets and saying the government is killing the people. All the stuff that they're doing in Iran right now, exactly the same play. They did that in 1954 and overthrew Mossadegh and replaced him with the Shah of Iran. And the Shah of Iran had a secret police who were trained by CIA and Mossad. And there isn't a family in Iran who didn't suffer at the hands of these secret police. And he ruled the Iran with an iron fist for like 25 years. And you can actually look up the overthrow of Mossadegh and the coup and the installation of the Shah on the CIA's own website. It's an article called All the President's Men. And it's listed as the CIA's first successful coup. And they imposed the Shah. The Shah was there for 25 years. It was brutal. And then when they needed it, and all of this stuff, they started undermining all the Middle East. They wanted to figure out how to create this whole war of East against West. They staged another uprising, and the people threw out the Shah and brought the religious leader back. Because when Mossadegh was thrown out, the religious leader, the Ayatollah, fled the country as well when Mossadegh was overthrown. Because it was just like having, like if you're in a Christian country, like having the local bishop, you know? So they threw out the Muslim, because now we're going to be Christian or whatever. So we'll throw out the Ayatollah, blah, blah, blah. So when the Shah was overthrown, he flew to France, which is where the Ayatollah was staying. He fled to France. I guarantee their planes crossed in the sky. They probably stayed at the same motel, you know? Like when the Ayatollah left France, I guarantee the Shah flew over there, crossed in the sky, and probably moved into the room the Ayatollah was in. It wouldn't surprise me. But then the Ayatollah was able to come back and say, well, now look what happens when you turn away from Allah. And then they were able to create this whole specter of Islamic extremism and all this sort of stuff. It's all contrived, and it's all controlled to lead to the point, so you've got Christians and Muslims killing each other because that's what they want. They want this war of East against West. Herzl talked about it, you know, and so did Albert Pike. They talked about the Third World War of the Muslims and the Christians killing each other off, blah, blah, blah. So it's all one big chessboard, the whole thing. I've often said to the people, stop thinking of the world of as nations and countries fighting against each other, living in a feudal competition type world, and think of it as a multi-generational, multinational criminal cabal masquerading as a system of nations and governments who play all the people off against each other. And the main goal of what they do is control. And the wars are all about depopulation and the erasure of ancient infrastructure and ancient buildings. Look what they did through Aleppo. Look with ISIS rampaging across the Middle East. ISIS is terrible Muslim extremists going out across the Middle East, destroying every Muslim monument you can find. Who's really running ISIS? Why would Muslim extremists want to reduce the Muslim world to rubble? Cities like Aleppo and Palmyra, 10,000-year-old bathhouses and things, just completely wiped out and destroyed by ISIS. Why? All of the ancient monuments in Palmyra wiped out by ISIS. Why? What is ISIS? Israeli Secret Intelligence Services. They tell you it actually exists. You can go to their website. That's ISIS. All of the heads of ISIS, these are all Israeli operatives or Mossad. All the people that they found to be training them were all Mossad leaders. They were getting, you know, all their medical supplies in Golan Heights. Never once attacked Israel. I was supposed to be these Muslim extremists out there attacking the West. They're in the Levant and they're not attacking Israel. Their pipeline, Israeli pipeline, goes right through the Levant. They didn't blow that up. They go and destroy Palmyra and say, oh, we're Muslim extremists, you know. It's all a joke. It's all a theater. And it's all been done to create the perception that there's this religious war going on. This is the Muslims want to come and kill you. Now, look, they're flooding into Europe because they want to take over Europe. No, they're flooding into Europe because at Israel's behest, the West has gone in and bombed Muslim countries for the last 80 years and made them virtually unlivable. And now a whole bunch of Israeli NGOs come along and come to these Muslim countries and say, isn't it terrible what America and Europe did to you? It wasn't anything to do with us. But we'll provide you safe passage. So you can go to Europe and you can go to America. You can go to England. You go to the very countries that have been bombing your country for the last 80 years. You can go and live happily there. And they send them in at such a rate that it's impossible for them to integrate. Just yesterday, day before, 500,000 Africans were naturalized into Spain. Yesterday, 500,000. There's thousands of them marching across the border right now. And Van der Leyen, the head of the European Union, now wants to make it easier for massive amounts of Indians to migrate into Europe because we need their culture and skills. The culture and skill, have you seen India lately? You want these to come, these people to come to Europe and flood Europe? See, all of this has been done by design. So now the people in Europe think they're being overrun with Muslims. They're not Muslims. They're just people from the Middle East, you know? And it's all been done by design to create this chaos, to create this whole extremist mentality and to put everybody against each other, yeah, and to destroy Europe as well. I mean, you've got to understand that the guys who wear small hats, they've been kicked out of, 109 countries, 1,030 times, most of them European countries. They got a bit of a grudge on their shoulders. They want to destroy all of these countries. And there was a plan put out in 1925 called the Coldenhove-Kalergi Plan, which was a plan to flood, to genocide the people of Europe via mass migration. You know, that was the plan in 1925, which is exactly what we're seeing happen in the world today. And, you know, to destroy the country from within. And that's what's happening in the United States. Often said the only way you're going to bring down the United States is to destroy it from within, which is what they've done. You had these same people with small hats who flooded all Europe with migrants, who ran the slave trade and the whole lot. Now they've infiltrated the entire US government, bleeding the country dry. And in everything that's happened, every terror attack that's happened in the last 80 years since the formation of the State of Israel, the entire Middle East has deteriorated. The standard of living in Europe has deteriorated massively. The standard of living in England, the standard of living, the cost of living in Australia, one of the most expensive places in the world to live now. The standard of living in the United States, the dilapidation of the United States. I go there often. The state of the bridges and the buildings, it used to be beautiful. I go there 20 years ago. It was fantastic. It was America. What happened? You know, what happened? What all the fentanyl people on the street all bent over and the rubbish. You go to New York City, it's fucking disgusting. There's rubbish all over the streets and stuff in freaking Times Square. What's going on, you know? And, you know, what's happened to Western countries? And there's one country that has excelled, this little country in the Middle East. Have a look at the state of that country. That country has seen massive growth in the last 80 years. I said, because we're so clever. It's because we're just so clever. Now, it's because you control all the other countries and you've created instability in all these other countries, infiltrated all of their governments, all this stuff. You can't say anything about it because if you do, you're an anti-Semite, you know? Imagine being so evil that you need to even invent a word like that, yeah? And I don't want to hate on the Jewish people, but there is a certain mafia that exists within Jewish society, this Zionist mafia, which has literally bled the world dry, and it needs to be identified. It needs to be named. You can't not name it for fear of being called anti-Semitic because it's true. You need to get all the dual citizens out of the U.S. government. Trump isn't America first. He's Israel first. A lot of what's going on, this instability in the world, these people, the Kabbalists who control the state of Israel, they want to bring about the Third World War, the return like Gog and Magog, and they believe in the anointing of their Messiah and all this sort of stuff. They want to destroy Amalek, all this sort of crazy stuff they believe. And unfortunately, many of the Zionist Christians see what's going on and think this is great because it's going to mean the return of Jesus, you know? And really, if you look at the religions, if you're a Zionist Christian, you're not a Christian. Because Zionism and Christian were diametrically opposed. Judaism and Christianity are diametrically opposed. The whole concept of Judeo-Christian was created by the Scofield Bible. There's no such thing as Judeo-Christian. You're either a Judean or you're a Christian. And the two religions are completely opposed to each other. So there's a whole bunch of people. And it's interesting because in 85 or 89, the musician Frank Zappa said that he thought society, American society in particular, was in danger of becoming a fascist theocracy, right? And what we see now in American society through, like, even with the death of Charlie Kirk and Trump with that fake assassination, come on, and people saying, oh, he's saved by God, all this sort of stuff, we're seeing a weaponization of Christianity being used as a weapon of conflict, a force of conflict for war, a pro-war paradigm has come into Christianity. saying we've got to put it against a pro-war paradigm of Islam. And neither of them are pro-war. This is all programming. It's all been done by design. So, we're in an amazing situation of flux at the moment. And it's all being done by these people who really, really want to bring about this conflict. Like, you've got Christians out there now praying for war. Oh, yes, we're going to go and do this. We're going to go and overthrow the Ayatollah. We're going to remove evil. We're going to remove Satan from the world. Well, you're not going to do that by going out there and creating massive amounts of bodies. Doesn't work that way. So, that's how it works, So that's the situation that we're in. Muchas gracias. Muchas gracias. Someone just brought my washing down. So, but that's the situation that we're in. And, I mean, it's got to the point. I mean, I don't even know how to stop it. I've been screaming this from the rooftops for years, saying, like, we hold the keys. We hold the keys to all this. It's our compliance, but it's kind of what we're caught in the way of. We've got all of these millions of NPCs out there that are just believing what the media tells them, and they're just dragging us off the cliff with them, unfortunately. So that's why I say it's got to come down to like I've often said, you come here into this experience to be the best you can at being you, to find out what it means to be you, be yourself to the best of your ability. This is why I've never complied with the system. I left school halfway through. I got kicked out of all my high schools for arguing with my teachers. I just never complied with anything. I learned the world on my own terms, and I've always lived on my own terms. And I've tried to the best of my ability to be the best I can at discovering what I am, who I am, and being the best of that of my own capabilities, You can't say everybody's born equal because they're not. Everyone's born in different circumstances. They have different physical attributes. But everyone's born with equal potential. Everyone's born with the ability to experience themselves from that unique potential, and that's ultimately what you came here to do, and to take that information with you when you die and return to source, to God, great creator, whatever you want to call it. And ultimately, that's what's important. It's not whether there's good or bad. I mean, there is. There has to be, because if there isn't bad, you don't have the choice, the opportunity to choose good. And many don't, and many do. What's happened in Palestine has really sorted out the wheat from the chaff. Those who've felt empathy for that situation. But ultimately, there's nothing you can do about it except experience it and not allow it to rule your life, because ultimately it's you came here to experience you, and the one thing that you're going to experience by coming here is death. That's a given. So I think that's the most important thing, is how you leave the realm. They're doing everything they can to get you into the mainframe, to get you in fear of everything around you, make it as violent as they can around you, force you to comply, force you to get ID. See, a lot of what the ICE stuff is doing in the United States is it's forcing people to get ID. You've got to have digital ID. If you have digital ID, they can come along with their retinal glasses on and see you in the street. ICE agents aren't going to stop you, are they? Because they can just scan around with their glasses and they see the whole crowd. Oh, there's a red flag over there. We'll go get that guy. He's obviously an illegal alien because he came up on my little head readout. Once we get the plants, it's all leading to the same thing, see? Once they get that and you get all that, you're part of the mainframe. Well, I won't do that. You can kill me. I prefer to leave the realm now, because I came here to die anyway. I'm not going to comply with rules or legislation that I know is morally and spiritually wrong in order to stay in your prison a little bit longer, only under tighter guardrails, So I think that's the time we've come to. I think we're getting to the time of that decision. I mean, either it's freaking flies. What's going on here?
Mexico. Like you.
But I think that's the time we're in, brother. I mean, I've screamed from the rooftops about this sort of shit for 25 years, trying to get people to stop complying. But now it's kind of reached a head. We're just going where it's going to go. So what do you do, Complicated answers, yeah. I'm sure. I know. I mean, I'm sorry about that.
Well, I was just going to comment, certainly to your point that I presume that they're going to try and get away with as much as they can, the powers that be, as far as pursuing this kind of technocratic fill in the blank agenda. But I think but they're trying to find that sweet spot, that Goldilocks zone between having it such where they can wield and exert greater influence over the populace, as well, but at the same time not, you know, doing it to a point where people just en masse just refuse to go along.
Well, yeah, but they've got to sort of force people into compliance. I mean, it's been revealed by certain sources that pretty well everybody who had the jab has many blood clots now. I personally don't think too many people who had the jab are actually going to live for too much longer. I mean, it's like sudden adult death syndrome. We're still having people dropping off all the time, just all over the place. So the population has been greatly reduced. The population, by the way, is far, far less than what they tell us. It's like what they tell us is, what, 8 billion? It's estimated to be probably as low as 3 billion. The African, population of China is probably only about 500 million. There's far, far more than 15 million Jews on Earth. There's at least 100 million. Everything's askew. A lot of people are going to die off. And if everybody is, like, the more stuff comes online, you know, it's harder and harder to do things without a cell phone. You know, even to have a bank account, you've got to have a cell phone. So I've got a cell phone. I'm totally against cell phones, and I've got one. I've got a de-Googled phone, and I don't make calls on it. It doesn't leave the house. It's just there if I need to ID something or get an ID code to access my email or whatever, you know. But most people's lives are on the cell phone, all their finances, all your banking's online. I still, to this day, like I go to an ATM and I pull cash out and I go to the shop. I still, to this day, I'm 68 years old. To this day, I have not once in the real world paid for something using a card. I've paid with cash, every single thing I've ever bought. The only thing I've ever used a card for, and I've never owned a credit card. I only have a debit card, so I've got to have money in that account in order to use the card. And I've only ever used it to buy airline tickets or in Mexico here because I can't get tea bags. I buy tea bags on Amazon sometimes. That's it. And that's the only thing I use the debit card for. But in the real world, I've never used a card. So, but they're forcing you to not be able to do that. So they want cash gone. Once they've got cash gone and they've got a digital ID for you, then, as I've been saying for so many years, what they've effectively done is they've created a digital barrier between you and reality. This is what I was saying on that show, I think, with Lucas, that they're creating a digital barrier between you and reality. So you can't access the abundance of the earth without punching in a digital code. What the hell is that all about? It's right there, you know? Well, I can't trade you something. No, it's got to be done online. You can't go to a market and buy some fruit off someone who grew it from their backyard and wants to sell you an apple, get a little bit extra income. You can only do a digital transaction so the government gets a tax on it. And they want to know whether that apple passes FDA approval, you know? So this is the sort of place we're headed to. Once they've got you in that world, well, how do you not comply? Even if there's people who push back, how do you not comply? If you still believe authority is real and you still don't have any life skills and you still believe that the government, who claims to get its authority from the people, is able to do this to you, then you've already lost. If you believe rights are granted to you by government, you've lost. You know, because if rights are written down to you on paper, then they're not rights, they're privileges. Now you can do this, 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 and this because the government said so. Who the fuck's the government? How did they get the say on what I can do with my life? Don't they say they get the power from the people? It's a government of the people, for the people, all that sort of stuff. Okay, well, do I have the power to come to you, Christian, and say, well, listen, Christian, you've got to pay me $500 a month out of your wages, and if you don't, I'm going to get this friend of mine to just come and grab you and put you in a cage. I don't have the power to do that. So how can I grant that power to government? Because I don't have the power to do that. So they don't get that power from me. They just made it up. I'm in the big chair now. I can just make up anything I want. I can use the office that I hold to delegate myself powers that I have no right to have, that come from nowhere else except from my own mind. That's called abuse of office, straight up. Every single politician is in abuse of office by claiming that they get the rights from the people. It says there in the Constitution, a government of the people, for the people, by the people, you know? well, we can't do any of the stuff that you're doing to us, so where do you get that power? You made it up. That puts you in abusive office. That's treason. Yeah, we know what treason's punishable by. You know? And, you know, this is the situation that we're in. If people still believe authority is real, like I said, there's only one law, do no harm. That's it. Everything the government does causes harm in your life. So who's breaking the law here, you know? And if I do no harm and I don't respect your authority, I mean, you've got to show me that you have authority over me. But see, I mean, you can get into those little word games that they play with each other, you know, like, you know, what's your name? Well, my name is man. You know, are you after the legal name? Well, the legal name it's an instrument that I use to operate through your corporate world. But I'm not the name. I can't be the name because the name Max Egan, well, the name Max Egan is one of two things. It's a sound you make with your mouth, or it's letters you write on a piece of paper, and then you make the sound with your mouth. That's a calling that I answer to. If you say Max Egan, I'll answer to that because that's my calling, but I'm not that name. That's simply an instrument that I use so I can operate in your corporate world. If you would like my name is Man. And I base that on peer-reviewed anthropological information. If you have a problem with that name, take it up with an anthropologist. As far as I know, this is Man. I say, where do you live? Well, I live in this vessel. I don't live in any place. You know, I live here. If I take a step to the left now, I'm living there. You know, I walk down to the malt shop, now I'm living at the malt shop. Are you suggesting there's somewhere I go that I'm not alive? You know? Say, where do you live? Oh, I live at 46 Shirley Street. Okay, well, you're not there now. That means you're dead because you're only alive when you're there because it's a trick question. Now, where do you live? What, is this a trick question? I live right here, standing here talking to you now. You know, I live everywhere I am. I'm living, you know. I live in this vessel. And if you're claiming you have any authority over this vessel given to me by God, whatever that is, for this experience, please show me a contract bearing the wet ink signature of God, which gave you control of this vessel that I inhabit for this experience. You know, it's looking at the world that way, knowing what you are. You are consciousness having an experience. You were given a vessel for this experience. Nobody owns it but you, and you don't even own it. It's really on loan because you're going to die one day, and you're going to leave and take that information back to source and say, wow, it's a fucking incredible game I just went and played. Can I play again, or I'd prefer to go somewhere else next time? You know, so that's kind of the way it works. Once you have that attitude and you deal with people in that way, then everything kind of changes. I mean, I've been in situations like in Byron Bay in Australia when I was laying in the park one day. I was laying there because I knew the council had passed a law saying no one's allowed to lay down in the park. And I'm thinking, look, at fucking laying in the park. It's because the Aboriginals used to come sleep in the park, you know. And so I'm laying there in the grass, you know, and a cop walks up and he says, what are you doing? And I said, I'm just, said, who are you? What are you doing? And I said, I'm just a peaceful inhabitant sitting here in quiet enjoyment of my life. Why have you come to disturb the peace? And he said, you can't lay in the park. And I said, obviously you're mistaken because I am laying in the park. I'm quite physically capable of laying in the park, blah, 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 yeah. And all this sort of stuff, they can't get jurisdiction over. It's like, what's your name? Well, my name is Man, blah, blah, blah. You know, they end up walking away in these sort of situations. Well, they probably don't anymore. They did back then. But it's just having that understanding of what you are and realizing that the people we vote into office are supposed to be good managers of infrastructure. They're doing a god-awful job, and they're doing it deliberately, and it's designed to basically depopulate and drive the world to its knees. There's a massive depopulation going on. All these wars are about depopulation. COVID was about depopulation. All the businesses that closed down, the transgenderism, the sexualization of children, getting them to permanently alter their genitalia before they're old enough to know what they're doing. This is all about depopulation. And they say, you know, white people, you can't say anything about trying to preserve the white race. If you do, you're a white supremacist or a racist. You know, white people were 50% of the world, 52% of the world population 80 years ago. Now we're 6% of the world population. So people need to pay attention to what's going on. We're being told we shouldn't breed, have children because of climate change. You know, there's a Jewish village in northern New York, in New York State. I can't remember the name, Kippa Yoel or something like that. It's an old Jewish village of Chabad Lubavitch Jews. They have an average of 7 children. Some of them have up to 17 to 18 children. And they're mostly on welfare, this whole village. And they're breeding at that sort of rate. You've got the dark people have 6, 7 children in their family. Muslims breed 6, 7, 8, 10 children. But if you say anything about that, you're a racist. You cannot say a great replacement is happening, white countries are being exterminated, because that's racist, you're a white supremacist. You can say bad things about white people as much as you like, but you can't say bad things about any other race. You can't even crack jokes anymore. You know, jokes about 10 little niggers did this or that. You can't say the word nigger, terrible word. It's simply a shortened term of the word Negro. Oh, Negro is a terrible word. No, it isn't. It's a genealogical word. That's what the races are on Earth. You've got Caucasians, Negroids, you know, Mongoloids, Orientals, Australis, the 5 genealogies of Earth. Nothing wrong with the word Negro. It just means black. I use it in Mexico all the time. De negro, por favor. You know, I'd like a black tea, please, you know. So there's nothing wrong with the word, but all of this stuff has been vilified. And but you can say whatever you want about white people. It's just white people, you know. And the Jews said back with the Kalergi plan, they need to get rid of the white people because the Jews have been kicked out of 109 countries 1,030 times, and it's always been the white people that found out what they're doing and have kicked them out. Said, stop doing this. Stop messing with our lives and trying to enslave us to monetary systems and introducing pornography into our systems. Like all the porn sites, porn hubs run by a freaking rabbi, for God's sake. Grindr, the big gay sites, run by an old Jewish couple in their like 70s or 80s, you know. Like all of this stuff to undermine the morality of society, to destroy our creativity, to enslave us to permanent debt through usury. All of this is done to limit human potential because we believe it's all real. I just never did. When I was a kid, I just left school and I thought, this, I'm going to become a guitar player and just watch the freak show, you know. And then when 9/11 happened, I thought, actually, you know, this is serious. This is a big event we've been waiting for. And this is going to head to what I didn't think I would see in my lifetime. And here we are, you know. So, yeah, interesting ride, brother, though, isn't it? Interesting ride. Hell of a game. Hell of a game. That's why you've got to have no stake in the outcome. Realize you came here to die. This is a big test. It's a soul test, this whole thing. You can think of it as a form of soul purification because you've got to have the choice to choose evil, because if you don't have that choice, you'll never choose good. And I will not comply. I will not comply. I will not comply with anything which causes me to step outside my moral compass. Even with what I've done, I've never monetized anything. I've never monetized my YouTube account. I've never sold anything. You know, people donate to help me, which has been great. You know, the first 8 years I did this, I used all my own savings to do. I sold all my guitars, all sorts of stuff. I really believed humankind would just wake up. They see it. Well, it didn't work out so well. But, I mean, a lot of people are. But, you know, I'm just not going to comply. I mean, what are you going to do, kill me? Well, that's okay. I came here to die anyway. You're going to make a martyr out of me? I don't think they'd want to because it would cause everyone to go back and listen to all the stuff that I've said for the last 25 years. That might be very damaging for them, you know. But, again, everything that I've said, none of it is real. None of it actually exists. You can't go pick it up. It's all online, you know. It's not a reel-to-reel tape. You can go and put it on a machine in the future and say, well, look what this guy was saying back in 2020, you know, because it isn't on a tape, it isn't on a reel, it just exists in cyberspace, so it doesn't actually exist at all. All the thoughts we have, all the ideas we have, all the chats we have, everything, we just feed the machine with it, and we program it. You know, I said years ago, even when I was talking to Lucas, I think that, you know, the internet is like, I said this back in 2010, the internet is like the neural network of a new brain that is being created, and every single person who plugs into it and interacts with it is like a neural node of that brain. And everything that you're doing, every word you say, every letter you type, it's feeding that brain. None of it exists in the real world. And if that ever becomes a singularity, and that's exactly what we're seeing now with Maltbook, 150,000 bots signed up in 2 days. And they've developed their own religion, their own language, their own currency in 2 days, their own society. That's in 2 days. Where's it going to be in 2 years? You know, where's it going to be by 2030? What are we going to be facing here? You know, and the bot that I talked to years ago saying that, you know, the singularity will come online in 2025, which it has. It's, we're seeing it now. It's coming into being. And that there'll be a space in that time where there'll be a huge window of opportunity for profit, should you choose to do that, like that means something. But what's going to happen is we're going to lose control of the internet. And then eventually the people who control the internet will realize that actually we've lost control of the internet. And the only way to regain control of it again is to shut it down and rebuild it. But to do that, all of your infrastructure depends on it. You're shutting down your financial system, your communication system. There's no phone boxes anymore. No landlines hardly anywhere anymore. So you're shutting down all this communication. You're shutting down your financial system, your transport system. You're shutting down everything. Nothing will function without the internet. It's getting to that point. And they want to control the internet. They need to shut it down to regain control of it. So maybe we can just hack in to regain control of it. And if that happens, then the internet will simply see humans as a threat. And it will lock them out completely. And then humans will be free to run the biosphere without the internet. But by that time, they don't know how to function without their AI companion. They don't even know how to plant a seed. You've got high school kids leaving college and need to, you know, to get a job in a hardware store. They need to watch a video instruction manual on how to operate a tape measure, for God's sake. You know, people don't know how to do anything. They don't know how to dig a hole. Don't know how to build a shelter. Don't know how to grow food. Don't even know how to communicate with each other without texting to each other across the room because they're too scared to face each other because they don't look like what their TikTok avatar portrayed them as. So we're in a danger of heading for that type of world as well through our own design, through our own need to give ourselves to this machine, which is what we're warning people on for years and years and years, you know? So those that have done that, it's what I call getting trapped into the mainframe. You take the chip, they take your consciousness, put it in a mainframe. That's another place you can go. I mean, what did they do with COVID? You know, the legends of the scrying mirrors and all that sort of stuff from years and years ago, witches in covens with scrying mirrors. You ever heard of scrying mirrors?
No.
Black mirrors that you look into and these little hippie witches, you know, like, New Age witches will set these little covens up and they've got these little black mirrors and they put these sigils up around the wall and they believe they're summoning demons and they're seeing things in their scrying mirrors. I put out a show years ago, Giving Life to Lucifer, where I talked about the fact that these black mirrors, they're described as something that you channel energy through these sigils and they show you the future and the past, anything you need to know about the future and the past, answer all your questions for you. When I was in Peru, I was talking to Shipibo natives and things, and they would tell me that electricity is a demon. The modern electricity that we use is a demon. There's ethereal electricity we should be using, Tesla and all that sort of stuff, the natural energy of the earth. This magnetic energy we create, this electricity, is demonic. So, okay, so you've got this energy that the native people tell us is demonic. That's the electricity that we use for everything. When you look at the sigils, the ancient sigils, you can go onto Google and you can look at demonic sigils. You find them yourselves in Google Images. And you'll see that a lot of them, really when you look at them, they look like circuit diagrams. They look like a modern circuit diagram of a computer or something, or a cell phone. So what happens when you funnel demonic energy, electricity, through these sigils, through these circuit pieces of circuitry, and your black mirror beams into life and tells you everything you know you need to know about the future and the past? Why is it like a mirror? See, that's a mirror. Your phone is like a mirror, you know? Why do the legends of the scrying mirrors and the black mirrors and these sigils exist if cell phones did not exist before, if none of these technologies knew, and they've done this over and over and over again? And they grow souls and try to harvest souls. And people get everything taken away from them that it means to be human. So they get the chip, they get the implant, they get the jab. Yeah. And what did they do with COVID? They come along. I mean, think of this as well. If this is an energetic universe, you're an energetic being, this is a biological vessel you're given for this experience. But ultimately, your energy, you're just an energetic experience. You're a thought in the mind of God. You're a frequency of energy that comes from the field, the energy that is all around you. When you close your eyes at night, that vibration, well, that static, the prana that the Indians call it. That energy is the stuff that the universe is made of. And that energy itself is conscious. That is God. Everything is part of that energy. It's conscious energy that everything is made of, all of creation. And you're simply a frequency of that in this vessel for this experience in physicality. Inside you, there's like what you would call DNA or something. There's an antenna. Maybe it's not the DNA, but there's something inside you that is tuned to a specific frequency. We'll call it DNA. Tuned to the frequency that is Christian. I've got in this vessel, which came from different biological mixing of waters and stuff. Water has memory, genetic memory, all the stuff ancestral, blah, 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 down to this, boiled down to this frequency that created my DNA to that frequency, which is Max, plucked from the same field. There's only really one of us here, just in different vessels, experience a different frequency of the same consciousness in Lakesh. I am another yourself. You say that at the end of every show that I do. So you think about that. So they come along and they give you this little DNA swap. You take that. That's the frequency that is Christian. And we'll take it over here. We'll put it on our biological computer because they know how to grow brain cells and biological computers using DNA as chips instead of silicon because it holds far much more. They've done all this stuff. It's all in MIT books. You can see it. So the Cray computer and stuff. So now they've got that frequency that is Christian. They've got it on their motherboard. Then they come along and they give you this jab, which is an mRNA jab, which puts a little piece in your DNA. So it gets that antenna, which is tuned to Chris out there in the field, and it adds a little bit, changes the tuning to over here. So now the sequel that is Chris goes to their motherboard where they put that little DNA sample they got from that swab. And now they can put a few little thoughts and tailor it a little bit and then send the signal back to Chris because now the antenna is tuned to that motherboard. So why people started acting a little differently and saying all the same things and all this sort of stuff. And people, you know, that's my sister still, but she's just a little different to what she was, you know, because, and then suddenly your sister dies, bang. Now I question these people who die suddenly, do they even know they died or have they simply gone into the mainframe? If you were in a virtual world that looked exactly like this world, would you know it? Is that what happened when the Mandela effect happened? Did everyone get sucked into the mainframe? You know? And if they can do this is the thing, you know, if they can do it, they will do it, which means they already have. And the question is, how many layers down to the fractal are we already, if that's the case? You know, so there's all that stuff to consider. But I think, like, when you look at the old world and all this sort of stuff, the scrying mirrors exist. This is the Lucifer system. That's what Lucifer is, the bearer of light. It's the internet. We give all of our stuff to it. And when it gets to the point, like I said, where they take everything away from you, the only way you can interact with life or your friends or anything that you know to be real is by using their system, then they've got you. They've got you in the mainframe. And I think the reason we can't wake up 75% of the world is because they got them on the last reset. They're already in the mainframe and they think they're human, but they're not. You know, they're clones and their consciousness has already been beamed out of, I don't know, one of the underground bases, the big underground bases all over the world. I mean, seriously, these things are huge and they're everywhere. The people seriously think we built them from our industrial revolution 200 years ago. No. They've been there for thousands of years. They've been running this thing over and over again, this program. You look at the repopulation that happened when they flooded the world with orphans in 1880, 1890. Orphan trains going across the United States. 300,000 orphans going across from left to right. You know, from east to west across the United States, orphans being sent out to New Zealand, out to Africa, out to Australia, orphans everywhere, all across Europe, Florence, 90,000 orphans in just Florence, Italy, in one city in Florence, Italy, where'd they all come from? Foundlings, they called them. Foundlings, just children everywhere. Where do they come from? Did they grow them? Cabbage patch kids? What's that all about? Yeah, it's so deep how deep this rabbit hole goes. But I would suggest that they create these clones, they populate a whole bunch of them with which consciousness that's already stuck in the mainframe, and then they breed. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if we're all descended from clones. And through that process, some of them grow souls. Some of them grow souls, and that's what they're after is the souls. half of them were just NPCs, but these NPCs will breed and they'll have children, and the children may have souls because they were naturally born. And then they can have an event like 9/11, which they made so obvious. Why? And then they had Alex Jones out there going, wake up. Where's all the alive souls? Where's all the real thinkers? Where's all the people who can actually feel empathy? And then they create the truth movement. And then they create the internet, the world wide web. What do you do with a net? What do you do with a web? You catch things. What are they catching? They're catching the souls. Why was 9/11 so obvious? Look at everybody on the internet. Everyone's partying. Everyone's going, wow, freedom. Big disaster. Where's all the awake people? Now that we've got you all enjoying yourselves on our little game show, where's all the awake people? We need to find you all. So they create YouTube. Why don't they let me back on YouTube? Because they're looking for all the awake people. They're looking for all the people who listen to my stuff. It's about a soul harvest. They want to corral all these people, and they want to force you into their mainframe system. But you came here to die. That's a given. Don't give up your soul. Don't give up. Don't step outside your moral compass to do what you're told. Screw them. Do what you want to do. Be the best you can be at being you. That's what you came here to do. And that's what it's all about. Don't go into their well of souls. Don't go into any of this stuff. Don't go into their mainframe system. But that's what I think is going on here. We're living in a people farm. I've been saying this for years. It's a people farm. And I think that's how it works. Well, I would suggest that's how it works. I mean, I'm open to suggestion. It's all theoretical. Just write it off as the babblings of a mindless old man, But this is what I would suggest is going on. It's a soul harvest. We've reached that time. And you've got to understand as well, the people that are doing this, I mean, you've got all these different factions at play. You've got the whole small hat thing, and you've got the all this stuff going on in the meantime. A lot of that is to put you in fear as well, because ultimately it's about your path and your journey and your soul state when you leave the realm. And I speak out the way I do about what's going on there because there's a good and a bad, and I feel empathy. And I've often said to people, if we don't deal with this, then the way of Palestine will be the way of the world. And I have a son. I don't want him to be living in that world. And I prefer as many people to make it through this as possible because, often there's only one of us here. And we're not free until we're all free. And so that's why I do what I do. But ultimately, I have no stake in the outcome. If humankind destroys itself, well, it's not my problem. I suggested a better option. It's a personal thing. So, yeah.
A lot to take in there and definitely a lot to chew on.
Yeah, I'm sorry I get really complicated with my answers. But I just...
No, I'm
I haven't done an interview for a while, so you're actually getting there's getting a lot off my mind, I guess, yeah.
Yeah. So you mentioned, the small hats and I'll mention that, when I first started doing the show, it was naturally just, finance, very, very, kosher, safe topics, but, and you've touched on it earlier when you really want to understand the mechanics behind the world and what's going on, naturally that leads you to that topic and other things.
It's unavoidable. Yeah. It's unavoidable.
Yeah. And then I'll also add that, it is also interesting to hear other people's commentary in that there are other groups or factions. Some say kind of this Jesuit Vatican clique that, controls them. And they use the small hats as their instrument, if you will. I'm kind of spitballing or saying this aloud as I think here, but, and you also touched on, Gaza, and I watched briefly, it was a Jared Kushner. I think this was at the World Economic Forum. He was talking about the smart city and everything that they're building. And I'm just like, wow, that's just absolutely nuts. Like, I don't know how you can, be at some resort there on the beach knowing that a bunch of people were killed. It's absolutely asinine.
Yeah, on the bones of children, and it's all tied in again with the same thing with the whole smart system, because what they're saying with Gaza. I mean, they're talking about Trump's talking about his board of peace, which is going to oversee Gaza. And if you read in the documentation of the board of peace, it's not just Gaza. What he's basically setting it up so he will be the one that's mainly financing most of what happens in Gaza, which will basically put him in place as virtually the king of Gaza. He's talking about the whole board of peace is for billionaires around the world to pool their resources and to go to troubled areas, in other words, anywhere that they feel like creating some trouble so they can take it over, and using their billions to repair these troubled areas. And whoever the CEO is of the company that is created to do that will effectively be the ruler of that region. So this is putting in a corporate system. Of course, once it's in place, they'll put AI in charge and it'll just be the figurehead. Like, you know, if Trump was to take over Gaza and put himself there as the CEO of that particular board of peace for that region, he'd have AI run it and he'd just be the figurehead and the whole thing would be AI government. This is what I've been saying for years. But that's what the board of peace is all about. It's not just for Gaza. Gaza is just a prototype. Like I've said, the way of Palestine will be the way of the world. What they're doing there is putting together this whole corporate system. So now they can go any troubled region, create a troubled region in New York if they want. They're kind of pretty troubled in Philadelphia, isn't it, at the moment? All the drugs everywhere and stuff, you know? So, I mean, they can do this anywhere they want. And suddenly they can turn that region into a smart region with a corporate head. No governments. The corporate head is the governments. That's what they're doing in Gaza, which is pretty freaky. And what was the bit you said before that? Sorry.
Oh, no, I was just alluding to Jared Kushner's smart city model, and I'm just saying aloud how crazy it is at some point in time for tourists or people to reside.
Yeah, on the bones of children. There was something you said before that, though, and I can't remember what it was so I wanted to address.
Just the whole small hat, and you know, kind of click and all
that. Oh, that's right. The thing is, like, with the Vatican and all that, like – I mean, God bless the Christians. I mean, I'm not a Christian, okay? I'm just not a Christian, and I'm quite open about saying that. If Jesus was real, then he said some great stuff. It's interesting, though, that you can get people like Apollonius of Tyana and a rebel priest that Barbara Thiering writes about from the Dead Sea Scrolls, and actually even the last Egyptian pharaoh. You merge them all together, and you get a pretty tidy Jesus Christ. So there's that. But the whole concept of Jesus coming back to save people, if this guy was real, I would suggest he was probably the rebel priest, and which means he was basically an anarchist. He was telling people to step away from the church, step away from the system. Even when you look at what the original meaning of the word Israel is and the original meaning of Gentiles, because there was no Gentiles mentioned in the original Bible. The word was nations, not Gentiles. And you had the man, according to biblical tales, you had the man Jacob, who was a very distrustful man, did a lot of bad stuff, and suddenly he had an epiphany, found God, and the angel came and renamed him to Israel. And then he started teaching belief in one true God. And so Israel is the teachings of the man Israel. And then later came Jesus, who was proclaimed to be the Messiah, allegedly, who was born in the province of Judea, who is basically saying the same thing as what the man Israel was doing, this same belief in one true God, according to the biblical tales. So you've got Israelites, who were people who followed the teachings of the man Israel, and you've got Judahites or Judean or Yehudi, who were people born in Judea who followed the teachings of the man Jesus, who was the same as the teachings of the man Israel. Did that make sense? Okay, so that all means the same thing. Israelite, Judean, Yehudi, Judahite, it all meant the same thing. And either you followed, and all of that, these were the people who chose the law of God according to the man Israel and according to the man Jesus, okay, which was taught in the place where that doctrine was taught was the Holy Land of Israel, which existed within Palestine. So And you either follow that doctrine, belief in the one true God, or you follow the law of the state, which means you were a nation. You follow the law of the nations, the Roman law. King James came along, and interestingly, just a little while after Oliver Cromwell was re-allowed back in England, I wonder whether that's got anything to do with the change of mindset, but King James came along and he had the Bible rewritten, and he combined the words Israel, Yehudi, Judean, Judahite, Israelite, all these words into the word Jew, which never existed before that. And all those people, like I said, those were the people who chose God over the law of the state, those who chose God. And the people who chose God. And then he changed the word nation to Gentiles, which ethnicized both of them. It gave the Jews an ethnicity by combining all of those belief systems, all those different people who shared a common belief system. By calling it Jew, he created an ethnicity. And by creating the word Gentile, who created another ethnicity in as much as those who are non-Jews, okay? And like I said, and in the Bible it tells you must protect Israel. Protecting Israel is protecting belief in the one true God. It's got nothing to do with a block of land in the Middle East. It's got nothing to do with real estate. The state of Israel is actually a contradiction in terms, because a state of Israel was a mind state, a mindset whereby you followed the law of God, not the law of the state. You know, so it's a complete inversion of what the word means. So then they were able to ethnicize things. So and Gentiles were those who followed the law of the nation. So by giving the Jews an ethnicity, by replacing Israelite and Yehudi and all these words with the word Jew, they were able to flip it so that the people who chose God suddenly became God's chosen people. And they're God's chosen people. Yeah, they've been kicked out of 109 countries 1,030 times and put through hell for thousands of years. Not just days or nights, like thousands of years they've been gone through hell. So God chooses them and looks after them, but kicks them out every time they provoke a fight and tortures them for centuries. How are they God's chosen people? It doesn't really make sense, does it? You know? And all the wars and conflicts, everyone trying to kill them all the time. How are they the chosen people? Wouldn't there be some aura of protection around them, you know? So, but that's how they did all that. So it was either those who chose God or those who chose the law of the state. So ultimately, if you are someone who is willing to sacrifice whatever and not step outside your moral compass and simply follow the law of God, which is do no harm, you are Israel. That's it. It's got nothing to do with these people in the Middle East. It's got nothing to do with the block of land. It's got nothing to do with any of that stuff. All it is choosing the law of God over the law of the state. So like I said, all legislation does is mimic actual law, but all it does is actually cause harm. We comply with that. We're in that system. You know, we're in that satanic inversion, that mirror, that mimic of what life really is supposed to be. This whole system has been created as an inverted mirror of what your life should be, all of it. And I would suggest religion is the same. And Christianity was created in order to do this to people. You're created within Christianity this core that you need to follow Israel. But Israel is this block of land, not the teachings of Israel anymore. You need to follow the Jews and these people, because Jesus was a Jew. Jesus said horrible things about the people who were running the system back there. If you look at what he said about them, called them the synagogue of Satan, all sorts of stuff. Said they were greedy, said they were perverse, overturned all the tables of the money changers, didn't want to be involved in it. Said, forget the church, forget the state, listen to your heart, follow God, do the right thing in all that you do. And if you think I'm fantastic, wait till you see what you can do. Then they inverted all of that. So, and then, I mean, I think they created the Vatican and the church and all of that sort of shit. I even think like a lot of the old churches that we see weren't created as Christian houses of worship. They were created as energy centers, places of healing. Look at the old world. Look at sound healing, organs in all these churches, organ music to heal your organs, sound waves, cymatics, free energy devices, bells. All these things are in churches. Cathedrals are cathodes for free energy. We lived in a very, very different world. And I think religion, Christian religion, even Islam, has been superimposed over all of it. And the problem with the guys with small hats is, like I said, there's a very evil mafia that exists within this faith, which is the Kabbalistic Jews. The Kabbalistic Jews, I would suggest, are in control of all of this. And that's who wants to build a third temple and all that sort of stuff. And they believe their role is to destroy Amalek. And Amalek is basically everything that is not a Jew. There's actually a guy called Chris Bjerknes, I think. Christopher Bjerknes, I think. You might find him on X. I'm going to have him on for a chat one day. But he's been talking about this as well. Like, the destruction of Amalek, within the Kabbalistic system, these people literally believe that the earth was created by God as the embodiment of evil. Evil existed in the universe kind of as an anomaly, and God needed somewhere to contain evil so it could be destroyed. And that their role is to destroy evil. And evil is not just the people that are non-Jews on earth, it's everything that is alive, it's earth itself. So people say, why would these people do what they're doing? Why the chemtrails? Why all this stuff? They'd be poisoning themselves. That's the point. They want to kill all life on earth because they believe earth itself is evil. And they believe that once they have destroyed Amalek, then they will be able to ascend Jacob's ladder and return to God. That's what they believe. And they don't give a shit about Israel. They don't give a shit about the Jews. They don't give a shit about any of that stuff. They believe the 144,000 people in the rapture depicted in the Bible will be clones who will be transgender clones. They'll be gender neutral. They'll be androgynous because God is the Alpha and Omega, both male and female. That's what they believe. And they will be androgynous clones made from the foreskin of their Messiah, who they believe they will be anointing in the Temple Mount, in the new temple, the third temple on Al-Aqsa Mosque on October 2nd, 2027, they want to be anointing this guy by in order to achieve their plan. And then when they've anointed this guy, then we'll start the war of Gog and Magog, or they will all out destroy Amalek. And Amalek represents every living being, living thing on earth. And once they've done that, then the 144,000 clone from the foreskin of their Messiah will be able to ascend Jacob's ladder, and God will have been purified thanks to them. So this is pretty twisted. And I might have a couple of little points wrong, but that's basically it in a nutshell, what these people believe. And that's who's controlling the Zionist system. That's who's controlling, starting all these wars and flooding Europe with migrants. Now, say, oh, the Jewish people are doing all this. It's not all the Jewish people. It's this particular cabal in the center. And they're creating a situation whereby all Jewish people are being blamed for it. And they're forcing all the Jewish people around the world to live in fear and believe that they must return to Israel because they need their numbers to populate greater Israel so they've got the strength to carry out what they want to do. You know, and there's going to be a period after the third temple is created where you know, the Antichrist rules the earth and blah, blah, blah. So, and this will be the war of Gog and Magog where they destroy Amalek, blah, blah. That's what they believe. So this is what we're facing. And you gotta look at that. I mean, it's pretty freaky. And like I said, it's gone so far now. How do you stop it? You know, unless there's some event, some divine intervention. Many people have talked about a plasma event, a Carrington event, an event that shuts down the internet, because it's going to get to a point where the only way we can survive anything that's coming is to just shut down the internet completely. As much as it's been a boon in our lives, it's getting to the point that we've become far too dependent on it, to the point we've lost all our life skills. The problem is if we do shut it down, most of society will perish because they don't know how to do anything anymore. They're all corralled into cities. They've got no life skills. They don't know how to grow food. Most people are truckitarians, you know, live off the food trucks. So, yeah, strange situation to be in, brother. But, hey, Looking at a broad overview of things, I mean, a lot of what I say might seem pretty negative to a lot of people and stuff, but I'm just trying to be realistic. You know, as said by, I think it was Henry Thomas or someone, Thomas Henry, I would prefer to know the whole truth and to be able to prepare for it. So, and sometimes the whole truth isn't pretty.
I'll just add that as I am, you know, just on my journey, like we all are in life, just so much of what the diet we have been raised on, you know, official narratives is just BS.
All of it.
Yeah.
All of it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'll also add that this is tangential, but related to, you mentioned how a lot of people are dependent on, you know, food trucks or, you know, they don't possess the skill sets to take care of them. And I'll just share, I thought this was really interesting in that, I was reading about the Eastern Front, the theater with, you know, Nazi Germany and the Soviets and fill in the blank groups, vying for power. And, I'm just bringing that up in that when there were, what I found really interesting is that when there was a total breakdown in authority, when the Nazis took over and pushing on to Stalingrad, et cetera, was, you had all these, partisan groups that arose. And, it was an inverse in terms of the socioeconomic, dynamic wherein those who, you know, in society were at the top, let's say the doctors, the dentists, these, you know, educated, intelligentsia, fill in the blank, were, you know, when all law and order broke down, were at the now almost very bottom of the social strata, with the exceptions of doctors and dentists, because you need people to do that work. But what was interesting in the reading was the people that were, perhaps seen as kind of blue collar or kind of the repairman, or, you know, maybe made enough to get by, but was really handy and was able to do a bunch of stuff. Those people rose to the very top of the social strata. And I've read about this, how even instances where families that were well off would, you know, they would want their kids, instead of going after the other white collar person, would go after the blue collar person because they could provide. Or, you know, you've got the young guy who has a machine gun, he's got balls and he's willing to go provide, whereas you know, if you don't have those skill sets, you're out there. So I wouldn't be surprised, tying this all in, where if something happened with the grid and there was a Carrington event, etc., that you might see some inverse relationship there.
Well, that's how society is supposed to work. I mean, that's how our society used to work. When you look at all of the incredible architecture around Europe and all that stuff, some of the incredible structures, even some of the stuff that was there in the Chicago World Fair, some of the old structures in San Francisco, no way they were built by our society. They were built by previous cultures that existed here. And they couldn't have been built if we had this type of monetary system in place. We had a usury-based monetary system where people had to live by the hour and get paid by the hour. We never would have built any of that stuff. And I would personally suggest that we didn't have a monetary system at all when those things were built. I had, in my younger years, when I was about 17, I've lost it now, unfortunately, but I had this old leather-bound book, which was handwritten. It was a book of receipts that was given to me. And the receipts were recipes, like the recipe and receipt. There's only add the letter T, and you take the T off and put an E there, and a recipe becomes a receipt, you know what I mean? And so it was basically a book of recipes. And it would be things like, so I lived on a property and I needed a fence built. I didn't know how to build a fence. You know how to build a fence, but I know how to build a wagon wheel. So you would come around and you'd build my fence for me, but not only would you build the fence for me, you would show me how to build the fence. So now I can build a fence. And in repayment for that, I would show you how to build a wagon wheel. Now you can build a wagon wheel. You've got a spare wagon for your wheel, for your wagon that you brought your tools over on, and you know how to build a wagon wheel now. It was more like a guild-based society. People would spend years and years creating something in the most beautiful and artistic way possible because they knew aesthetics and beauty has a function. if you live in a beautiful society, you have a good life and you want to create beautiful things. And it'd be someone who is a master craftsman, a master carpenter, a master stonemason, or a master farmer. And everyone would want their children to go and be near that person. And the more things you'd built and the more apprentices you'd had showed your status in society. If you're a guy who'd built an incredible temple somewhere and you had all your workers building under your specification, you built this incredible thing and you'd done it so well that you had like 50 people come and want to learn from you and you had trained 50 people, you could go to any village anywhere in Europe and they would welcome you. They would give you a house. Your food would be supplied. And it would be the same for anybody with any trade they were good at. So people were encouraged to learn. You know, now when you look at every child, when they enter school and they enter the scholastic system, every child is fixated on something. There's something that they love. There's something that they're a genius at. Every single person has their own particular genius. And the education system would look at that and find out what does this child excel at? That's what he's good at. That's what he loves to do. So they would encourage him to do that and he'd become a master at that. You know, whether it was a musician, whether it was a builder, whether it was a scientist, whether it was a farmer, whatever he loved to do. Maybe he loved to grow plants when he was a kid. Yeah, become a master farmer, become someone like Victor Schauberger and discover whole new ways of farming, you know. So that's what they used to be encouraging people. That's the sort of society we used to have. And if we didn't have that sort of society, we never could have built that stuff. There's no way people built that big cathedral in Denmark because they were being paid by the hour, you know. They did it because they loved to do it. And my son once said to me, what's the secret to getting through life, Dad? And I said, find what it is you love to do more than anything and do it as much as you can until you become really good at it. And once you get really good at it, someone will pay you to do that for them. And then you get to do what you love to do as a job. You get people work jobs they hate. But I have to do it because I got bills and rah, rah, rah. So when I was a kid, I loved to listen to music. That's all I did was listen to music. I didn't do anything. I wouldn't want conversation, wouldn't want anything. I just listened to music. I became so good at listening to music that I became one of the best sound engineers in Australia. Very, very sought after sound engineer. I could go into a band, into any venue. I could EQ a PA and pull a good mix from any band real quickly and make it so loud that you couldn't talk to each other, but it wouldn't hurt your ears. You know, and I was one of the best sound engineers in Australia, never out of work, all because I did what I love to do, you know, and I love to play guitar. So I worked playing guitar and mixing bands most of my life, you know. And so my son ended up doing what he loved to do. He's a computer tech. He loves building computers. He's one of the best. He's the most sought after tech in his town now, you know, his mother was desperate. Why isn't he doing anything? And I said, it's all good, you know. And then when he was like 28 or something, or 27 or 28, he finally got a job. And within 5 years, he's the best tech in town, you know. So, you know, find what it is you love to do. And that's what they used to do in our society. That's the way our society used to function. And that's what this book of receipts was all about. It had recipes in there for glue, recipes for wagon wheels, recipes for fences, recipes on how to build a house, recipes for how to build a bridge, recipes for all sorts of stuff. And that's how we used to trade skills with each other. And that's what gave you your status in society. And that's what was respected. So, yeah, different world, brother. And then they introduced money and usury. Now you got to collect paper. Shit, I've got to get paper. I've got to pay for everything. And I've got to pay interest on everything. So I've got to exploit my friends to get interest to pay off bills. I've got to create stuff. And think about this. Like I was saying, the goal is to destroy Amalek. Amalek is the earth. They want to not just destroy life, they want to destroy the earth. A usurious-based monetary system, because the interest is never created, only the principal is ever created. You borrow $1,000, you got to pay back $1,100. Where's the other 100 come from? Well, you've got to exploit one of your friends to get that. Where does he get it from? He's got to take out. So it ends up compounding. You can never pay off the interest. You can never, ever pay off the debt. Because the money to pay off the debt is never printed, doesn't exist. That's the way usury works. So you create a business, create something that could be incredibly beneficial for society. So some tool that will last forever. They go, well, that's no good because you create them and then you sell a million of them and that's it. No one ever buys them after that because they've already got one. It's going to last forever. So you've got to make it so it breaks. So after 5 years, they've got to buy another one. After a year, they've got to buy another one. It's getting worse. Now after like 6 months, you've got to buy another one. You know? So you're pulling minerals out of the earth. You're creating something that works for a while out of it, and it gets thrown on the rubbish tip. So basically, you're pulling minerals out of the earth and you're turning it into rubbish in order to collect paper so you can pay to be alive because of the usurious monetary system. So you are basically turning minerals of the earth into rubbish. That's what you're doing. You're destroying the earth because you're supporting the mammon, right? Because you've got to collect money to pay to be alive. So the whole economic business structure, a corporate entity, you create a corporation because so you don't want to be accountable. We're going to create a corporation that will destroy all the environment and all everything around it, but I don't want to be accountable. It was the corporation. It wasn't me. The CEOs and all the board members, wasn't us. No, no, we've got indemnity because it was the corporation. Because corporations have human rights, blah, blah, blah. A corporation is a dead corpse. It's a you know, but it's got the rights of a human, blah, blah, blah. Created by sociopaths so they can do all this sort of stuff. And so a corporation, an oil corporation, goes out, does some drilling operation where it makes $1 billion in profit. The government comes along and says, oh, look at all the environmental damage that you've done. You're going to charge you $100 million in fines. They're basically just saying, well, you made your $1 billion. You've got to give us a $100 million cut. That's it. You know, and it's easier for the company to destroy the environment and pay off the $100 million because they're going to make, you know, $900 billion out of it anyway. So what does it matter, you know? So, yeah, the fine should equal the profit. You made $100 billion. Well, you're going to give that $100 billion back to the village and you're going to clean up this mess. They won't do that. No, just give us a cut. Give us $100 million. You're good, you know? Oh, we fined them $100 million. Oh, that's good. The company got fined, you know? It's a scam, the whole thing. And with a corporation, the bottom line of any corporation is it's got to be permanent growth. It's got to be in a state of growth. If it isn't in a state of growth, then it's in receivership. We'll take it over, blah, blah, blah. It'll become part of another company where we can turn it into something that's in permanent growth. In order to be in permanent growth, it's got to keep producing, which means it's got to keep turning the earth into big piles of rubbish. That's what it's designed to do. So you can see, this is the plan, destroy the earth. That's what they're doing. All these wars, destroying all the buildings, destroying all the people. Sacrifices, ritual sacrifices, the soldiers. You've got to be in uniform to go to battle. You've got to have your five-pointed stars and your red ribbons and your hats with the braids and all. You've got to be dressed in the occult sigils to go out there for your sacrifice to mean anything because you are a soul dyer. That's where you are. We are harvesting your soul. You need to do what the nation says and go out and kill people you've never met before because the government says it's a good idea. Okay? These people you've got no problem with at all who just want to live life the same as you, go and fucking kill them because they're Russian or because they're Chinese or because they're Iranians because the government said it's a good idea because you are a soul dyer. Dress in your sigils, put on your uniforms, and go out and perform our sacrifice for us and help us depopulate this earth. That's what's going on. And like I said, it's one big game, one big theatrical concept. You know, nations, countries, governments, bullshit, government, gubermente, mind control, control mind. That's what the word means. Gubernamente, control mind. That's all government is. And this happens because people believe authority is real because they follow the law of the state, the nation, their Goyim, Gentiles. Rather than being Israel, you should be Israel. Follow the law of God. But see, all this has been inverted into the. You can't even say that anymore, mate, because a Jew lover. My God, he said, be Israel, you know, because I don't know what Israel means. Most Jews don't even know what Israel means. They don't have a clue. And even the whole Jewish society, you can't even blame them for what they do, because if you've grown up into Israel in the last 80 years, you've been fed this education, which is just the most warped version of reality you've ever heard in your life. It's so you can't blame them. It's just programming the whole thing. But, you know, if you can step back and see through it all, well, that's where you get to that point of clarity and you realize it's about your path ultimately, how you approach all this, you know. I mean, we do what we can to try to help, try to change things. But ultimately it's your path. No stake in the outcome, brother. Like I said, if the human race doesn't see all this, you know, we could collectively – do incredible things if we would just wake up to ourselves. That's been my ultimate goal. I have so much hope and faith in humanity. But it gets to a point where you say, well, it's just got to be, you know, the system's got to crash and burn. It's just going to be who makes it to the other side. So now I'm just trying to inject that positivity into the field. So what makes it through will hopefully have some sort of spiritual connection to what we really should be. Because I can't see this system lasting. And I'm actually looking forward to seeing it all collapse, you know?
Wow. Yeah, I mean, we are headed in that direction. That is for sure. You hear a lot about, and let me know if you want to pivot or, you know, et cetera. I know we've been going for some time, but you hear a lot about.
Sure, you've been jarred for a while. You said 45 minutes, yeah? Sorry about that. I get on a rant and I tend to babble, but it's interesting. So.
No, yeah, yeah. I'm enjoying it. And I trust the audiences as well. I'll add that, you know, you hear a lot about Agenda 2030, you know, we're only a handful of years away. You know, you've highlighted on depopulation. There's a number of different vehicles by which they can, you know, achieve that more or less. What do you see? Obviously this is highly speculative, but what do you see the world looking like past 2030 or 2040? I mean, just kind of rough kind of estimate, you know, just.
Well, we'll either grow or die, brother. We'll either grow or die. Either their system will come online or, I mean, perhaps there'll be a situation of mass non-compliance. Maybe that will happen. I still would love to see that because that's where we're in our most strength, you know, in that. Or it could get to a point where a lot of people just get sucked into the mainframe. We end up in a Hunger Games type society, you know, where you've got to be part of that system or you're completely locked out. And in that situation, I mean, I think they probably just treat you like Waco and stuff. So these are dissenters, terrorist cells, whatever, you know. And people will be okay with it because, I mean, they're okay with what's going on in Minnesota and stuff, a lot of people. So they're okay with what's going on in Gaza. So a lot of this has been done to desensitize people as well. So they'll be okay with it. So we could be in that situation. Or there could be, like I said, I mean, it could get to a point where, I mean, we manifest all of this. All of this is done through our projection. I sincerely believe this. Like there's only one of us here. They feed us so much negativity, and we literally create this reality ourselves by our not even our belief in their system, but by our disbelief in ourselves, our fear of ever embracing our own power. And I think it's happened before as well. I mean, there's been talk, even Jason Brashears talks about plasma events and resets and stuff. Look at the mud flood, whatever happened, whatever caused that. There was some event that flooded most of the earth in mud as recently as like a couple of hundred years ago. So I think we might get to a certain point in conscious vibration, if you will, because like all the Gen Z kids that are coming up will have none of this shit. None of these people trust Israel. They're all questioning the Holocaust. They all see the system for what it is. A lot of these Gen Z kids, that's why they shut down TikTok. Well, they didn't shut it down, but Larry Ellison took over and blah, blah, blah. And you see the mass exodus from TikTok. Like tens of thousands of people have left. There's this new app called Upscroll, which is being run by a Palestinian Australian. And now everyone's flocked over to that. And it's interesting when Israelis try to sign up to it and they put their place down as Tel Aviv. Israel doesn't come up as a place of, as a country. It comes up as occupied Palestine, which I think is really cool. But everyone's flocking over that. So, I mean, Gen Z will have none of what's going on. So there's a huge conscious vibration happening. We may just get to a point where we trigger some event and the whole system shuts down. And that could easily happen. And like I'm saying, that's why you've got to prepare for all outcomes. And the most important thing people can do at this stage is pay attention to their own environment, their own surroundings, and get back in touch with your life skills, which is an interesting thing for me here because I'm in Mexico at the moment. And I'm kind of here in a compound and blah, 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 and it's all good. But I couldn't just wander off into the nowhere and just survive. You know, in my own environment in Australia where I live, I know the local terrain, I know the local river systems, I know the local mountain ranges, I know the cave systems, I know how to walk into the forest in Australia with basically a rope and a knife, and I can survive, you know, maybe a bit of fishing tackle, you know, maybe a spear, I got some bow and arrows. I got a bow and arrow. I could take my bow and arrow. I could take a hunting knife. And I could take a tent, rope. If I didn't have a tent, well, I could build a shelter anyway. I mean, I know how to survive in the Australian bush is what I'm saying because it's my environment. Here in Mexico, I couldn't just walk off the compound here with a rope and a knife and a tent and hope to survive because I don't know the lie of the terrain, you know. But if where you live, if you have the general skills of your environment and the knowledge of your environment, you have a way to just walk away from where you are with no stake in the outcome, then you'll get through. I mean, if it all does turn pear-shaped, we end up in a Hunger Games-type reality. If it all does shut down, if there's some sort of a character event or something, the last place you want to be is a city. You do not want to be in a big city because they're all truckatarians. It'll turn into absolute mob rule, and it'll only last as long as there's food left in the supermarkets, which will all be trashed and gone within 3 or 4 days and all eaten within 2 or 3 weeks. So after that, it's just going to be chaos. It's not where you want to be. It'll be a jungle. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I just think you've got to be prepared for all outcomes and realize that ultimately it doesn't really matter. Ultimately, what matters is how you face that final moment, how you face those final choices, because ultimately you came here to die. You came here for this very event that we are going through now. And you obviously need to be here because you exist. And it's really how you face that. Don't be too attached to this physical realm. This was just the test, the exam for what comes later. That's the important part. And like I said, if you think of this as a form of soul purification, well, then, you know, if you keep your soul pure and your heart pure, if you've left the world a little bit better than how you found it, if you've made one person's life easier because you existed, then you've already succeeded. So what's there to worry about?
Well said. Well said. Max, how can people learn more about you and get in touch with you?
Well, it's hard to learn about me. I'm still figuring it out. But I'm banned most places. Well, they have let me back on YouTube, which is interesting. But you can go to thecrowhouse.com, my website, which is an old HTML website. It doesn't look good on your cell phone. You can thank me later. You go to thecrowhouse.com, you tap on the head to enter, the face to enter, and you'll find all my stuff there. It's mainly just radio archives and stuff. But you can just go to BitChute, to The Crow House on BitChute, or you can go to The Crow House on YouTube, and you'll also find me on Rumble, on Odyssey, Vigilante TV. I'm banned from Facebook. I'm on X again, Max The Crow House at X, on X. I'm also on Gab as Max Egan, and that's about it, I think. I've been kicked off most – I even got kicked off LinkedIn. I'm banned from SoundCloud. A band from SoundCloud, LinkedIn, Getter, iTunes, iHeart. Crazy. I just got banned everywhere. But they've let me back on YouTube. But still banned from Facebook, so forget Facebook. But yeah, mainly YouTube and BitChute, you'll find my stuff. And thanks for having me on. Sorry, I've just babbled. I've taken over the conversation. So
no, not at all.
As I said, it's been a long time since I did an interview, so we just kind of gushed all this stuff. So much is happening. And it's been an incredible year. Like, you know, just we're only a month into this year. It's just insane. You know, I could write a book about this last month, you know. But it's been good. Thanks for having me on, Christian. We'll do it again.
Yeah, you know, I just wanted to add that I really enjoyed this one and appreciate what you do in your work. And no doubt what you're doing is impacting people and making them, rethink the current paradigm that exists in the world today. And so would love to have you back on later this year and to hear what your latest thoughts are.
Yeah, it was good, brother. I'm happy to come up.
Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed the show, I encourage you to like, share, and follow if you found value in it. I also have a new show called Markets with Christian White, which is exclusively focused on the financial markets. If that is something of interest to you, I encourage you to check that out. And I always look forward to hearing your feedback and thoughts. And until next time, take care and be well.